T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Albert, how you doing, man?
I'm doing great. How are you guys doing?
We're doing pretty well. We continue to beat up Hugh Jackson this week, and this week was worse, Albert, after what he, his comments after the press or in the post game, which were not good, and he tried to backtrack him and blame the media a little bit on Monday, but he said what he said, and obviously Todd Haley wasn't happy. I get the sense if he loses this game, he could be done. If he loses to Pittsburgh, do you think that's possible?
I certainly think ownership is prioritizing Baker Mayfield's development right now, and I think the general manager is prioritizing Baker Mayfield's development right now. So I think if anything's going to happen, then I think that it would be sort of tied to that. Have there been any sort of bumps that are going to affect what's happening with him? Not only him, but it's just the youth on the team, because there are a lot of young players that could be affected by whatever's going on there. And so, I think that one way you can see it being directly affected is if there's any sort of power struggle or there's any sort of discord between the head coach and the offensive coordinator. And so, I think that they're the comments that he made after the game are the comments that he made after the game, and I think there was a ripple effect from that. Now we see where that goes. And is it going to affect Baker Mayfield in any way? Are we going to see anything on the sideline on Sunday? I think as much as winning and losing, that's where it is. You guys aren't fooling yourselves and think this team's a contender right now for a championship, right?
No, certainly not.
It's just there's a lot of good young players on the team now, which is a position the Browns haven't been in a while. Mm-hmm. Denzel Ward, again, Baker Mayfield, Nick Chubb, Myles Garrett, Jabril Peppers. There's a good young nucleus now, and I think the important thing for the rest of the year is that you get the right environment for those guys to grow in.
Albert, those comments after the game on Sunday, you mentioned those. How did those comments go over with front office? And certainly with the coaching staff in Todd Haley, who was basically thrown under the bus.
Yeah. I don't think they went over great, to be honest with you guys. And that's probably why you saw Hugh walk some of them back on Monday. I just, look, those sorts of things, part of the reason why Haley took the job was because, he was given autonomy over the offense. I don't think he would be in Cleveland right now if he wasn't given autonomy over the offense, if he wasn't given full authority over play calling. And the fact that that was, kind of out there in a public discussion point and wasn't just shy out of the sky right away, I think that's something to pay attention to. So to me, it's, I don't know. I can't tell you, whether or not there was any fence mending that went on Tuesday or Wednesday or anything like that. I don't think that the comments went over all that well in certain corners of that building.
Albert, and under the radar, he basically dissed the special teams coach too, because he said a couple of weeks ago he was like, we got to fix the special teams. Okay, we get it. He didn't, it wasn't like he threw him under the bus at the time. But this week in the same press conference, he said, hey guys, the special teams are fixed or have been much better lately. You didn't give me any credit for that. So essentially he's saying, well, they were bad because of Amos Jones, and now that I've been involved, I deserve credit. So you're essentially throwing him under the bus too.
You guys have my catalog there, huh?
Oh, everyone, Albert. Everyone.
I think the important thing here is that the young players in that organization, and I think they've done a much better job the last couple of years of bringing guys in, who I think are going to be long-term pieces there. I mean, to me, if I'm Jimmy Haslam or John Dorsey, the number one thing is that at the end of the year, Baker Mayfield's ascending, Denzel Ward's ascending, Myles Garrett's ascending, Larry Ogunjobi's ascending, Jabril Peppers is ascending. The number one priority for me is that making sure that, that all these young players that have so much promise and look like they could be a nucleus for a long time to come are ascending players. And I just tell you, like, if you want to go back and you want to look, in a lot of cases why coaches are fired in midseason, it's because the environment became toxic. And generally, it's not the players that create the players are the ones that are that create that sort of environment. Generally, there's some sort of discord elsewhere in the organization that invites that.
Albert, the Browns have what, about 5 days here to make a trade, and yep. There's been a bunch of trades. You know, the Giants are having a fire sale right now. The Raiders are obviously getting rid of a lot of their guys, including Amari Cooper this week. Do you think the Browns will be a player for a big trade, including a wide receiver?
You know, Dustin, I'd be surprised if they were going to go and flip draft capital right now for a veteran player. I think they like where they're at from a roster standpoint. I understand wanting to get a receiver to help Baker. Maybe that opportunity comes along. You know, if you want to look at some of the names that are going to be out there, Demaryius Thomas is obviously one. A lot of them are aging players where you look at it and you say, is it worth bringing in that guy's contract? Is it worth bringing him on board? When by the time we get good, he might not have a whole lot left. And so, you know, if you want to look at the receiver position specifically, I think, you know, allowing, you know, like guys like Callaway to keep growing, to me like that, it's worthwhile to not prevent that progress by adding another piece and taking that guy off the field. I think the rest of the year for the Browns has to be about development. And if you think that you're going to help Baker's situation by bringing in an extra piece, then fine. I just don't think it's going to be a sort of, you know, big splashy name that could be a foundational piece going forward.
Albert, you haven't been on with us since the Carlos Hyde trade. So what did you think of that deal?
Yeah, and that's exactly what I'm talking about with the whole Progress Stopper thing. You know, I think that I don't think it's anything Carlos did. I think as much as anything else, it's, you know, I remember way back as a good example of it was, you know, it's probably 10 years ago, and the Dolphins just let Jason Taylor walk. In fact, I think they might have cut him, and he was still a really good player. And I remember talking to, you know, one of the decision makers at the time. I said, why'd you do it? He said, well, you don't see this yet, and the public doesn't see this yet, but we got this kid we really like behind him, and we just didn't want to have the veteran in front of him anymore. Well, that young kid was Cam Wake.
Yeah.
And right. So, you know, it was one of those things where it was like, we had to move the veteran out because we just weren't going to be able to give the young kid enough opportunity if we kept the other guy here. And that's sort of where Carlos Hyde was. Like, I think Carlos Hyde did a nice job for them. I don't think they regret signing him. You know, but to me, this is really about getting Nick Chubb those opportunities. And I think we talked about it last week. You know, I think from Hugh to Todd on down, I think all those coaches wanted to get Nick Chubb more opportunities. He flashed what he's capable of earlier in the year, and this gives him the chance to give him a little bit more opportunity.
Hey, Albert, just one other comment before we move on to some Ohio State here. If the Browns did decide to let go of Hugh, who would take over? Would it be Greg? Would it be Todd or Al Saunders?
I think probably Todd. That's my guess. Is that just because he's got head coaching experience. Again, if it's about the quarterback, then it makes sense to do that. You know, sometimes you take coaches elsewhere in the staff and you say, and that's where Al Saunders would make some sense. Sometimes you take another coach because you don't want to upset the structure with the coordinators. And so, you know, like somebody like Al Saunders might make sense if you want to do that. My guess is it would probably be Todd. And then maybe it turns into like a 10-game audition for him. You know, I'm not saying you're going to hire. I'm not even saying you're necessarily going to elevate him, but at least then maybe you can look at what it looks like.
Albert Breer, MMQB. Albert, let's talk about your beloved Buckeyes for a minute.
It's a great subject this week. Huh?
Yeah, right.
Jeez.
Listen, I'm someone who at the beginning of the year thought the Buckeyes should have fired Urban Meyer because of what happened in the offseason. And so that factors into my decision here that maybe it might be time for a mutual parting of the ways at the end of this season. That being said, I think there's been an overreaction to this one game. People are all of a sudden talking about the Buckeyes like they're a garbage team and that there's a huge problem. Maybe that's developing. I don't know. But what do you make of both the embarrassing loss, Urban Meyer's emotional behavior, it seems, in press conferences and on the sideline, and the reaction or overreaction, however you see it, to the loss.
Yeah, I mean, here's what I'd say. I think they're still 7-1, right? So it's not like the whole building's on fire.
Sure.
I think the issue this year, like last year, was shocking. Like what happened against Iowa last year was just sort of. I mean, you can see some of it maybe, but like there was just like yeah, if you're watching that game, I mean, you sat at the end of the game like, what is going on here? The thing that was tough about the Purdue loss is that it was, I don't know if it's predictable, but it kind of see it coming. And then a lot of the problems in that game have been going on all year. They didn't run the ball very well. The linebackers were getting beaten left and right. Some of the matchups you saw the defensive coach putting those players in, I mean, just borderline unfair. Like putting a linebacker on Rondale Moore should never happen, let alone, you know, repeatedly in the same game.
Yeah.
And so I think that there are some questions you got to ask about what's going on. And you know, I'd heard that they had, pretty much like a full day of, like it's just a full day of very aggressive meetings on Monday to address everything. Not to tell you, I mean, Dustin, I can't remember a Buckeye team that had this much trouble running the ball. No matter what, like that's been the one thing they've always been able to do on offense, you know, no matter how, and especially against teams like this. And the fact that they couldn't run the ball on Purdue, it was just freaking eye-opening, you know. And then, you know, you see some of the things going on defense. And, again, the troubling thing about it is this is sort of these problems they've had for the last month or so, and they just never really had to pay the price for them. And it was like the bill, you know, it all came due at once.
You think Urban's back next year?
I do. I think if he is back, I think that there's going to have to be some tough decisions mm-hmm. to make on the staff. My guess is that he's probably back because I think he still loves coaching. And I think that my feeling is he probably doesn't want to go somewhere else to coach at this point. And so I think there might be some self-evaluation that goes on. Anyone's medical condition can come into play in any sorts of things. I don't know, like, if the headaches, if there's more to it than just what he's conceded publicly. But I would say I think that, like, just what the school means to him and everything else, the amount of autonomy he has at the school, as long as, you know, the administration doesn't tweak him too much after the season, I think he'll come back with a revamped staff.
All right, Albert, great stuff as always, man. We appreciate the time. Thanks for joining us.
All right, thanks, guys.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.